Hallelujah. Glory to God. We will be blessed. Right? Because why? Because it's the word of God. Because it's the word of God, we will be blessed. Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Today we'll be looking at normal Christian life. And this might lead us into starting a conversation. We don't know how long, but let's just trust God, right? He didn't say, are we going to trust God? Let's trust God. There's no ability in man, right? So, Simon Peter, a bond servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our Lord, of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, or Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. So Apostle Peter had another, or in one of his letters, or his epistles. This is the second, in terms of how they, we all know that it was people that grouped the books, right? It wasn't Apostle Peter didn't say, this is my first book, this is my second book. Right, it was scholars and theologians that is theologians, right? Abina? Theologians, okay. That sat down, or people that, you can call them people that studied the Bible and felt it needful to canonize it, right? And we now have the first book of Peter, the second book of Peter. Now, the interesting thing is, even if you look at the epistles of Paul, so for example, the letters that Paul will write to, maybe the Ephesians, the people in Rome might not have the privilege to see that same letter that was written to the church in Ephesus. And that's why you see a lot of similitude, or maybe the use of similar references in different epistles. Because the person that is reading this is not the person that was reading the other book then. Now we have everything, right? We have everything. And so we are the ones that do reference. Like when you look at a scripture here, you now go and look somewhere else. Then you preach your sermon. Dig it. We are the ones that do reference. For example, the reference they had then was the Old Testament, or what we called, or what they call Torah. And that's why you can find Isaiah in the New Testament. Dig it. Now, even in the Gospel, you can find the rendition of the Old Testament there. But in the epistles, it's probably one letter is for a people, and they may not know that another church has a type of letter. They might not be privy to it. They might not have the privilege. I'm not really sure whether churches were sharing letters. We can't really say because it's not written, right? But what I'm saying is that you would see a lot of similarities between what Paul said to a church and what he said to another church. And you would also find a lot of similarities with what one apostle is saying to a people and what another apostle is saying to a people. The reason is because they are all feeding from the same knowledge of God and knowledge of his son. So that in itself will tell you that it's one God, it's one baptism, it's one faith, it's one Lord. Right?
Yeah.
So it would be far-fetched if you can't read Paul and read Peter. You know, it would be a problem. Do you understand? So God, and that's why it says all scriptures are given by the inspiration. Like God said, this is my word. Because everybody said the same thing that can be found in him and in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please, let's go to verse 1 again. So he says, to those who have obtained like precious faith. Now, I like the way Peter introduced this. Now, for some other epistles, he would say to the church in Ephesus or to Christians that have been scattered in Pontus, in this place. Now, some scriptures were written particularly to some people or a group of people. But I like the way this was written. Now, it didn't make this book a... We can't just say we want to contextualize it to a people. So, for example, the reason why you would say Paul said in some places that women should cover their hair is because of the tradition in that place. So we quickly say because he wrote the book to the church in Ephesus. Or where he said women shouldn't speak, blah, 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 in a church. You know, and even till now, there are people that are strongly, you know, there was a man that I like, he has a very strong doctrine on that. I don't really know him, but I just like that people don't like him. You get, you know. Yeah, I mean the world don't like him because he's an apologist to the Bible as well. He defends the Bible very well. I like people that defend the Bible because there are a lot of people that they want to shame us because some of us don't know everything. But there are some people that have given themselves to that exercise. I think it's a spiritual exercise. You might be privileged to do it, you might not. If God does not send you, don't go. But if God sends you, you will know you're equipped for it. You can fight in terms of argue and all those things. But it's not necessarily what God expects of every of his child. There are places you will go to, you just have to exit. You can't do anything much. Else you start blowing up yourself. And saying that you want to fight because they drew Jesus as cartoon. Do you get? So you want to keep people... Yeah, no, that's not how to defend the faith. So he wrote this, and we can easily put ourselves here. I think that's where I'm going to. He says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. And this is every child of God. This is every believer. The faith that we have is like the faith Peter received. The faith that we have is like the faith that Apostle Paul received. So he says, I'm writing this letter to those who have received or who have obtained like precious faith or a faith that is as precious as mine. Hallelujah. And he says, we receive that faith by the righteousness of our God and the righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So when we are looking at this epistle, we will put every of our being there. We would want to draw out a lot of, because everything that is written afterwards, if you have the same faith as they have, then it should be applicable to you. So whether you are trying to find out who did he write this to in particular, or whether this was written to us or written for us, he has categorized all of us in one bucket. Everyone who have obtained like precious faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that's the first thing I want us to know in this, as we journey in this episode. This is the only book, or the first book is the only book we'll look at. So everything we'll find in it is for us, is written to us. We are meant to study it, we are meant to walk in it, and we are meant to be all that is written, because it says, I'm writing to those who have obtained the same faith that I have received. And this also to say that the faith we received has not gone stale. It's, they call it like precious faith. It's still the same. The faith Apostle Paul received is not less or higher than what we are receiving or what we have received. That is to say, the same demands that is placed on any faith that was received then is also the same demand that is placed on the faith that will be received and yet to be received by anyone that has not received it. So when you enter into a world where the faith people are receiving is not looking like the faith in the Bible, then there is, it's not like precious. So it's the same old faith. Or let me use the word, it's the same precious but ancient faith. So the faith that I would receive now, today, in this present world, is not a faith that is influenced by any other, in quote, unrighteous factor. As long as it's received by God, I'm not adding to it, I'm not removing from it. So the faith that has joined itself with wokeism is not the faith that came out of the righteousness of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. So if it was truly the faith that was, that we can see in the apostles, in the disciples, in the Christian of old, then it puts us in this same bucket as well. If the folks in the SU revival read this, it's so much applicable to them. As it is applicable to them, it's applicable to us. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So let's move to verse 2. So it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So the faith we have received hasn't changed. Or have you received a faith that has been upgraded? Or maybe you've received a faith that has another version that you are yet to download. So the knowledge of God has also provided for us grace and peace. Grace and peace. Can we say grace and peace be multiplied to you? So Apostle Peter prayed this, but there's a lesson here. He says when we find ourselves in the knowledge of God and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, a place to quickly run to that is very descriptive of whenever we say knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. When we say that word together, is always eternal life. John 17:3. He says, what is eternal life? That men may know the one true God and Jesus. So the knowledge of the one true God and Jesus is eternal life. But Peter says that in that eternal life that we have now, he says, for God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, right? That whosoever believes in him wouldn't perish, but what have everlasting life or eternal life. Now, in that life, is grace and peace. And not just grace and peace, but grace and peace in multiplication. Meaning as long as a person is living in eternal life or living in the knowledge of God. Now the knowledge of God or the knowledge of his son is not first in the searching of that knowledge. The Pharisees did it. Because as Jesus was preaching about himself, his assignment, and the person that sent him, they were searching him out. And that was why they were asking him, who are you really? And so he quickly chastised them. He says, you search the scrolls, but you don't find. Let's go there. Let's go there. Do we know where that is? Because they were looking for life. You know, many of the lawyer that asked him, trying to deceive him, the rich young ruler, Nicodemus, they were all asking him, how can they have life? Because these guys are scholars. They are like your PhD holders trying to write another thesis. And so they went to meet the person they can like ask the question. And if, oh, you don't know where it is? John 5, what? 39. Thank you. Yeah, they've told us John 5:39. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you what you have. You know, we've defined eternal life, right? John 17:3. What is eternal life? That men would know, or that men may know the one true God and Jesus whom you have sent. So it says that these guys, they were not just, so, you know, in Luke, when they were in that house where he healed the man they brought down from the roof, he was teaching, and they were seated. So they were literally following Jesus everywhere to study everything he was saying, and they were still yet searching the scriptures. He says, you search the scriptures. So like I said, you know, having that grace and peace that is in eternal life is not first you doing, it's not this first. Because some did this first without believing. Bible says, he that has not believed on his son is condemned already. So you can't even enter into this eternal life conversation. If you like, start searching or looking for the God and the Son. I mean the Son of God. You won't find eternal life by just searching the scriptures. That's why they quickly told us that the letter kill it. The spirit gives what? Life. Let's go back to 2 Peter 1:2. So it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So in we, and this in itself is not just what we received at new birth. It's saying that as long as we are in that frame of eternal life, we are experiencing grace and peace in multiples. Can you say glory to God?
Glory to God.
Yeah, so a child of God is not without grace. You know, Paul taught very well about grace. He would say we've received the measure of grace, that there is no one amongst us that is without grace. But he also says that we also have access to peace. Now, this peace is not peace of mind. This peace is peace with God. Because what the ignorance or what the inability to access life caused was that we were separated from God. And so when you look at a child of God, well, what does a child of God enjoy? If you ask yourself, you wake up every morning, like, what's the benefit of being a child of God? You have grace to do all things, and you have peace with God. Now, this peace with God is what affords you a personal relationship with God. This peace. This grace is what you can do all that God wants you to do on earth. So it says the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus our Lord affords us grace and peace in multiples. In multiples. So there's no day a child of God should be without grace. Meaning anything that has to do with your destiny or that has to do with your assignment on this earth, there is no day you will be unable to do it. As long as you are within the knowledge of God and within the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ is not the encyclopedia Bible guy. Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of guys that can quote the Bible. They don't have peace with God. Yeah, they are running almost helter-skelter. Yeah, because it's also this, you can get peace of mind from peace of God. This peace. But it's not first peace of mind. Meaning from this, you would have, you know, when it says, my peace I give to you, not as the world give it. You can also get that as well. The state where you are not restless. The state where you know it is well. But that's not the first thing God gives to you. What God gives to you first is reconciliation with Him. Access to Him. If you don't have access to God, forget peace of mind. Forget peace of mind. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is what we enjoy as children of God. You know, every time if you're a child of God and maybe somebody is troubling you and asking you what's the use of you being a child of God, is that He does not have the ability to do today. And He does not have hope for tomorrow. Me, I can do today and I have hope for tomorrow. That's the grace that I have. Now, the second thing I have that He does not have is He does not have access to God. See, that thing is everything. Yes. See, you know, your brother said, if front cannot, if you can't go front. No. For the child of God, you're not going back.
Yes.
You know, see, man, I've seen where people, they've understood the scriptures through the lenses of culture, and it's very wrong. You know, there was a day I was asking myself that, if we're not careful as believers, they will exchange this Christianity from our hand. One of the ways they will exchange is through traditions of our fathers. You know, at times you can just sit down and be like, wait, it's Jewish culture that we are just struggling over. You can literally be sitting down and just telling yourself, this Bible, this Abraham, this Torah, it's Jewish culture. You know, recently I went to a museum at Pan Atlantic University. They call it EMC Shilon. And we got to a section. They said, these are all the gods in Yoruba land. I mean, some you've not seen. I didn't know that there was a god of music. Onyo. That's what they call him. If you did Yoruba, maybe in school, you might have studied. We've dealt with Shango and... There are some we don't know. There's a man, I've forgotten his name. The man that crafted all of them. Like all of them. I'm like, interesting. And as the guy was speaking, I was like, dude, you can't affect my memory. Yeah. As they were taking us through, the museum has over 1,000 art collection. And they were probably in one collection is probably maybe $1 million. Do you get? So, but this section had all the idols in Yoruba land, like all. That was the first time I saw that there was a god of music. I'm like, that's serious. And so we can be told that, don't take the white man religion, the white man religion. Some of you might have thought, but this thing is white man religion, no. Don't take the white man religion. And you're asking yourself where, you know, and for some of you, this might even be your job, to preserve Asha. To preserve our culture. That might be your, but do you know the depth of our culture is heavily satanic? Now, you don't know, or you may not know. I mean, like, the depth is very spiritual. Let me even first start from there. It's very spiritual. Before you find a culture that is not spiritual, it may not even be a culture. Because for something to be called a culture, it has the power to shape the hearts of people. So it's never unspiritual. So even the ones we casually learn as history, but and if you speak to someone like Pastor David, you it might tell you a little bit of when I say our culture is heavily spiritual. In their class, they get to a point, you know, because we both school together in Unilag. And, you know, if the guys in philosophy are even fine. You know, they always say if you do philosophy, you can backslide, blah, blah, blah. If you backslide because of philosophy, you're not serious. They told you, Socrates, he said this, you will now be thinking, you are not serious. But he said in their own class, they get as deep as incantation. and they see it come to manifest. So the so-called culture that you want to fight and kill yourself over, this thing is meant to deliver you from it. So it's not what you have. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is not a knowledge from Israel. First, deliver yourself. It's not, you are not, after, you know, some of you say, oh, why do you have a, why is your name John? Why is your name, why is your name not Oromio? If you know the meaning of Oromio, you may not be sleeping again. Yeah. Now, I'm talking to someone here because because there's a temptation to defend what God wants to destroy. Yay. So when you say the knowledge of God, it's not the knowledge of the culture in Israel. Because that's another susceptible way. You know, by the time some of you visit historical places, you'll be moved a bit. You know, when I was in Sweden, I went to a museum. Everything, they had a section, it was Egyptian, it was the Egyptian side. You can't tell me that the Egyptians were not spiritual. You know, when that thing they call mummy. I saw a mummified body. They were highly spiritual. I mean highly. You know, when you say magician, we don't have magicians again. Then they were magicians. I mean, real magicians. You know those people that threw stick down and their stick turned to snake. They were real then. Then nobody can drop anything and turn to snake. Everybody has turned to artists. You know those guys that will be flipping card. Now I'll show you one. Everybody has. We need money. Everybody's in the industry. We need money now. Those things were real. You know, I was reading, I even did some, even the sound of that place was looking like you can be praying their prayer. They had a sound, as you enter there, they had a sound there. So there's the God, small g, of Egypt. There's the God of Yoruba land. There's the God. And so when he says the knowledge of God, this is not the knowledge of the culture of the Jews. You're not becoming a Jew. They don't even want you to become a Jew. Your Gentile is enough class to enter kingdom. So they didn't say first turn to Jew or learn to blow maybe that on before you can. No. That's no. It's the knowledge of God. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, if you don't know this, your Christianity, you will complicate it. You will say you need to buy a shofar before you understand your Bible. No. I'm serious. Because you might think you are going to get the knowledge when you enter their culture. Whereas even they never enter. Yeah, is that sad? Like even if you go there, if you walk on the streets of Israel, if you ask a typical Jew, as Messiah comes, we say, no, we are still expecting the Messiah. They're even thinking the climax of the war would bring the Messiah. Like the climax of the war. So grace and peace for us is because we have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's move on. There's no time. So he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and what? By virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through this you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So there are about six things that Peter told us that we now have in this new life. You know, like, I think it was last week, we were looking at Ephesians, And we're looking at the blessings. I think, was it last week or last 2 weeks? We're looking at the blessings in Christ. And we first said it was redemption and the forgiveness of sins. We also said in Christ we have inheritance. We also said in Christ we have the foretastes. That's the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, Peter is telling us that we have about 6 experiences in eternal life. The first of it is we have grace. Like I said, we have peace. Hallelujah. We also have things we need for life. Things we need for life. It says everything that pertains to life. Now, the things you need for life, it also says you also have the things you need for godliness. I mean, godliness is being like God. So everything that God expects of you when he says, be holy, be like me, be like Jesus. He says you have everything that pertains to godliness. You have everything that pertains to life. We also have great and precious promises. Then the 6th one, we've escaped corruption. Now, Peter summarized our eternal life experience into that 6. So if you look at verse 2 to verse 4, it started with, we have grace. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he now started going into verse 3. If you go to verse 3, it says, we also have all things that pertain to what? To life and godliness. And then we also have escaped. It says we have great and precious promises. And then the last one, we have what? We have escaped corruption. So if you are experiencing eternal life, then, you know, when Jesus says you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption, that's what eternal life gives to you. It means you should not see corruption because you've escaped corruption. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go to verse 5. We're just studying this book. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. Add. Can you say add? Now, when we got saved, you know, so some people had this kind of experience that, I mean, why am I still here on earth? Like, once I've given my life to Christ, it should just take me, right? But it didn't take you. You're still here. So he's saying, while you are here, because this first book is very, very funny. It was in the same book, Peter also talked about him departing. So he was very intentional to, he didn't write that at the last chapter. Because he wanted them to understand some of the kind of prayers that Paul described in Ephesians chapter 1. He says that you might be able to know what is the hope of your calling. Now, because a lot of people, when they were called, the problem was after they were called. The question is, why was I what called? And the mixture of what we see today is because people have given self-interpretation to the call. You also find it in the same place where it forbids you to give your own interpretation to your call, your own interpretation to the word of God, your own interpretation to what you would say is the knowledge of God. Because many people now have added, they've added other things that they didn't say we should add. See, when your Christianity has become complex, you are missing a great deal. When your Christianity has become complex, kolojutu, like it's interwoven, you can't even explain it to another believer. You know, when somebody asks you, how is your Christian work? My brother, I can't explain it. There's a problem. So it says, but also for this very reason. So for the same very reason of you coming into eternal life to enjoy those 6 or many other things. He says, don't wait there to those many things. Now, those things, they were the commitment of God to you. 1, you enjoyed grace from him, peace from him, great and precious promises from him, things for life, things for godliness, escaping corruption. Those were his own commitment that he embodied inside, or he put inside eternal life for you. So once they gave you the tablet of eternal life, the commitment of God through the death of his son on the cross and his resurrection came to you. But they now say, with all that came to you. So it's just like when they give you a tablet, then they now say, use supplement. Now, that supplement is what people have redefined. So that supplement is when you ask another believer, how do you pray? And then it's not looking like any prayer in the Bible. They've changed that supplement. See, if you're the only place where simple is allowed is a simple or a walk with God that can be simply explained. I mean, every use of simple is what we know, you know. You should not be naive, blah, blah, blah. But the use of this word simple is clear. If your Christianity is not clear, if we have to use a lot of goggle to be able to define what your Christianity is, whether it is in its height or it's in its depth, there's a problem. So it says, for this very reason that you have all these experiences in the eternal life that you've received by the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, give all diligence. So it's like God's part, your part. It says, give all diligence. I mean, if we look at different words to maybe synonyms for diligence, can we try and see if we can find different words? You said? Did anyone say something? So give effort. Give all effort. Give all effort. Give all persistence. Give all attention. Be tenacious. Effortfulness. Doggedness. Tirelessness. Assiduousness. Now, let me quickly answer someone's question. If you want to ask yourself if God is diligent to you, I mean, at times, a lot of us, we always think whatever God expects of us, he has first put that responsibility on himself. See, if God tells you to love without fault, he has loved without fault. If God tells you to give your all, he has given his all. If God tells you to roll around 365 times, he has rolled. There's no expectation, eh? And that's why he said it in Hebrews. None of you have suffered. You have not suffered. The sin that you think you've gone through, he went through it and he shed blood for it. You have not shed blood for any sin. So it means nobody will get to the point where you will say you don't want to repent. Like your sin is not worthy to be carried by someone else. So God in himself is also diligent. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. 3 verse 9, sorry. Now when he says God is not slack in his commitment, he says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. It means the Lord is diligent. Because the opposite of diligence is maybe slothfulness or slack. Slackness. He says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. God is the greatest evangelist. You, your own target does not cover that the whole world may be saved. The Bible says it's his desire that all men be saved and they come to the knowledge. Like, that's so ambitious. Like you, you've written off some people. Like God, you know, you can't reach anybody you have not reached. You know, we've used different phrase to say, I can't preach this one, Joe. But God's ambition is that all men may be saved and they come to the knowledge of truth. Now, let me tell you how he's diligent about it. He's raising men that will love the people you don't want to preach to. That's how he will ensure that guy is saved. So you might focus on Jew. You will raise a poor that will like Gentiles. So God is diligent, right?
Yes, sir.
So he's not slack. And so we too shouldn't also be slack as it relates to what we should add to our faith. Bible says we were saved. Is it through faith or by grace through faith? Right? Because the journey for every man started at faith. So it says, to that your faith, be diligent to add virtue. Be diligent to add virtue. So as a child of God, you are not to be without virtue. So in this place, everything here actually, everything, probably like the seven things that are here that we are being told to add, they are all virtues. So other, like TPT or Amplified, TPT, I think TPT will use goodness. So this virtue is goodness. Or I think Amplified will use integrity. Character. Like every, like if knowledge, every other thing that is there. It says, for this reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort in exercising your faith to develop, okay, moral excellence. So everything, can you go to TPT if you have TPT there? I think I have one here. No, I think it's verse 5. So devote yourself to lavishly supplementing. So I like that word, supplement. They've given you faith that is producing eternal life in you. So the nurse says, go for the supplement. And the first of it is here, it says goodness. In Amplified, it says moral excellence. Do we have another version? NIV, what does it say? NIV, what does it say? Goodness as well. NLT. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Can you get CEV? Contemporary English. Oh, message. Okay. So don't lose a minute in build. You have to be reading the message with faith. It should not carry you where you are not going to. Honestly, whenever they bring up message, I will look up very well. Because... God will help us. So don't lose a minute in building on what you have been given. I like that, actually. What you have been given. We've received something, right?
Yes,
it says complementing your basic faith. I don't like the word basic. My faith is not basic. It says complement your faith with good character. So you can see that a child of God without good character, moral excellence, goodness is uncompromisable. Your Christianity will be another Christianity if you don't have good character. Meaning, if your yea cannot be yea and your nay cannot be nay. See, let me tell you, as a child of God, one of the things that will draw or drag you to being without, to be without moral excellence is you would commit yourself to all men. Because that's how you won't be enough. Let me give you an example. Oh, we'll see 1 p.m. We'll see 1 p.m. Then it's always, sir, when are we going to see? 1 p.m. Yeah, that's how to lose moral excellence. Is you have to be diligent with how you commit yourself. Oh, I'll give you 5K. Like, 10K is your salary. But you promise 15K. They will say, you think you're tight. Monty, mama, tight too. Yeah, that's how you lose moral excellence. When you are... You know, you try to become multi-breasted. You know, that's the position of God. El Shaddai. All sufficient. The one that can feed all and it won't finish. Yeah. You know, there was a day I told my wife, we don't have all the resources. Like, you know, I tell you, when you say, all things are possible, all things are possible, all things, what's our song again?
No more limitations.
No more limitations. When you're singing that song, don't be singing with light and understanding. All things are possible, all things are, yeah. All things are possible according to the grace that is given to you. If you run out of grace, you'll be naked. There won't be clothes on your body again. So he says, to your faith, add goodness. Add moral excellence. I don't want us to just use the word virtue, because Bible also uses the word virtue or virtuous in different places. Now we may not understand the word, just the word virtue. So when we use the word goodness or moral excellence or integrity or goodness, we can relate with that. Even as a woman, you know, in Proverbs, it spoke about the virtuous women. It's, when you just ask yourself, what's virtuous? Is that there are things, now, for that woman, it's not the same way he said virtue here. There are many things that would make that woman virtuous. One of it is a quiet spirit. But that's not all. It says to your faith, add moral excellence. So as a child of God, you have to develop, you would have to put diligence here. Like yesterday, in my ways, in my interaction, was I morally excellent? Oh, if you find yourself dropping the ball somewhere, you become diligent to ensure you supplement it. Don't leave it that way. Don't leave it to God. See, these are the ones you can't leave to God. They said you, for the very reason that he has done or he has given, you will do this. You would also add what? Knowledge. Can you say knowledge?
Knowledge.
It says here, insight and understanding. Now, let me quickly say something. You have to seek knowledge with a lot of humility in your heart. Because, I wish this was the last thing. I wish. Because we have the responsibility to seek knowledge, a lot of people have sought the wrong knowledge. This knowledge is very, it puts us at a very, very, you don't want to have a knowledge that turns this beautiful faith you don't want to turn it to something that is no longer Jesus. You know, because for a lot of people, some sought knowledge and they moved into heresy. See, this knowledge, I wish it was the last one. I wish you can use all the other virtues to now supplement this one. Because with this knowledge, you can be lost. See, when you are trusting God to know him, your heart, you must be checking your heart. Like, you must not be trying to know him because you want to preach. You must be checking your heart that you want to really know him for who he is. If there is any other motive, another thing can latch on it.
Yes.
See, people have gone mystical because they are looking for knowledge. Somebody say, oh, meeting. They're doing one meeting here. The word of movement, the word of faith, the word of this one. From moving around, they've moved into places they shouldn't move into. Because of knowledge. Let's move on. The next one is what? Self-control. Now, let me quickly tell us why self-control is what you need to work on. It's because God did not take your will. You still have with you the power to decide on what to do and what not to do. You know, I always tell believers, see, when a believer falls into sin, he has the power not to fall into sin. Not just that he has power, he has the power to also know the consequences of falling into sin. Now, the sinner that is yet to be saved, does not even yet know the consequences of where he is yet. But for the believer, he has been told that the wages of sin is death. So he knows, the Taju does not know. I always mention Taju. If you are here, you are Taju. You are Jesus Taju. The Taju I'm saying is in the dark world. So it's not your own Taju. So self-control is what we work on. In this, see, if your normal Christianity does not have self-control in it, for example, you can't control your appetite. You can't control. See, there are many ways to even develop yourself here. Your heart is saying, do this. And then you just diligently tell yourself, no, I will not do that. Like it requires training. That's what I'm saying. Like, if it is everything that you develop appetite for that you get, it will be very problematic for you to have self-control over anything. He also says we have perseverance. We develop perseverance. Perseverance here is also long-suffering, meaning where you can forbear for long. Now here it says you don't check out easily. He also says to your perseverance, add to it what? Godliness. You can also say this is holiness. Your life, you must seek to walk in holiness. You must seek to be godlike. Now you might be thinking there are some of these things that God should have added it to the first package. No, they put it to us. God will not stop. God will not blow your earpiece that you're using to hear worldly music. It's you that will cut it. It's you that will take knife or scissors and you cut it. You know, some of you tempt God. God, if you don't want me to listen to this thing, God, they should take light. You are not serious. You are not serious. He says, to your godliness, add to it brotherly kindness. So you can see that we have work to do as it regards our faith. If you would have a normal Christian life, you have to be work. See, this is like your JD. After they said, this is your role, then they now say, this is your job description. Work daily at this. Let's move on. To your brotherly love, had what? Love. Your brotherly kindness had love. Now he says, for if these things are yours and abound. Now, don't forget, the one that God gave to you, he has the ability to be multiplied. But you also should multiply these other things. Meaning, where you were last year in brotherly kindness, you should seek to improve. Where you were on perseverance, meaning, if your level of persevering things is here, this year you should seek to make it go higher. So it says, if these things are yours, meaning if you are able to supplement your faith with all these seven things, and you also now multiplying them, it says you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Now, I like this because some people would not be diligent about these seven things. He says, he who lacks these things is short-sighted. Now, short-sighted, then he is on a journey to blindness. So he says short-sighted even to. So it will start from your ability to comprehend God is in multiple confusion. Meaning you will know God today. You have put it in a swing. So God is nice to you today, he's not nice to you tomorrow. God is faithful today, he's not faithful tomorrow. God is kind to you today, he's not. So you will be short-sighted, meaning you can't comprehend the fullness of God. Or you can't understand or comprehend the whole counsel of God as regards your life. Until you come to complete blindness. And you are forgotten. Now, this one is saying, see, from that you're not seeing well, you will not even see at all. Now, it means this guy will backslide. Or this guy will start engaging in sacrifices that have been paid for. Yeah, that was the one God told me. He says this one, you know what he says? He has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. So he will start engaging in it. It will be, his supplement will be exercises that the cross did not make provision for. The lack of these things will give a man an abnormal Christian life. It's a Christian life that he wouldn't be able to explain. You will need to add other things that God has not authorized. You know, the person will be on a gradual diminishing process of how he sees the Lord. See, you don't want to do things that God has not embedded righteousness in it. See, for Abraham, he believed God and it was accounted unto him as what? Righteousness. Now, if you do things that God is not in it, it won't add to you. Rather, it will take away from you. See, when we do these seven things, what we are doing also is to make our election sure. He says, he that is able to add all these things and is abounding in these things, he will never be barren. Let's quickly go to verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance. So if you do these seven things, you will be making your election sure. Meaning they've called you. That the one they gave you, that grace, peace, life, things pertaining to life, things pertaining to godliness. That one was the call they gave to you. But when you add when you do those supplements, you will be making your election sure. Ephesians chapter 4, I think verse 1. It says, brethren, I beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation. It says, I beseech you, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling you were called with. Verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's go back to verse 11, 2 Peter chapter 1. So it says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Friends, your walk with God is sustained by the knowledge of God and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The experiences of men will not add to it. See, what we get from the experiences of men is words that can stir up faith. Salvation has not been embedded in any man. See, they've not outsourced salvation. Salvation is still, it says, no name has been given to us by which man must be saved. So nobody, no experience. You know, even in your walk with God, you are not seeking to be like another man. You are seeking to be like Jesus Christ. Now, when you see yourself already becoming not like Jesus, but like another man, it's no more a normal Christian life. If you are looking at the mirror, you are not looking more like Jesus. That's where it all started, because we can't say we want to look like maybe a role model in the world. So stay true to your foundation. See, be an ardent reader and student of the Bible. These are very simple and basic things. A lot more will be deceived because of the level of deception is probably going to become more difficult to detect. Now, you might think a lot of deception are not yet in your space, particularly maybe in Nigeria. They've not just been given publicity. You know, recently, I think the police are looking for some people that created a video. And all of them inside, they are saying, this one is saying I'm gay, this one is saying I'm bisexual, this one is saying I like the way the policeman said, this is ridiculous, and this is it's already in the society. It has not just been amplified. So the deception that will sweep a lot of people is already here. It's not waiting to come here. So be stable, believe what is true. And don't be caught in being superfluous. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for today. We're grateful. Understanding what you have provided for us affirms to us that you are a God that is committed. You are the covenant-keeping God. You are the one that has not changed. You remain the same. The faith that was given to Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, Apostle John is the same faith that was also handed over to us. Actually, Jude called it common salvation. And what is expected of us, oh God, which is for us to act in diligence, is to be committed to goodness, be committed to moral excellence, be committed to self-control, to perseverance, to knowledge, to brotherly kindness, and to love. Father, help us to be diligent in every area that can make our lives profitable, fruitful, and not barren in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. We're so grateful. We're grateful, Lord. Thank you for restoration happening here in this place. Thank you for crooked paths that have been made straight. Thank you for the weak and the feeble knees. Thank you for restoration of hearts. Hearts that have been given to cunningly devised fables. Hearts that have been deceived. Thank you for restoring back hearts. Thank you for restoring and giving confidence for hearts to have the ability not to add any other thing. Because nothing else has been given to us by which men can be saved. Father, thank you, Father. We are grateful, Lord. We give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Can we give God praise?